Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. Good morning. It's now 6:35 Central Time from the Faith Radio Network. And I'm Austin Hill, honored to be with you weekday mornings 6 till 8 as we strive to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful. How old is old enough for a young person to own and operate a business, or maybe even to help run a business? I would ask the question a little bit differently. How young is too young for kids to get involved in business? The reason I pose that question, our great friend Bill English, publisher of BibleAndBusiness.com. He joins us at the top of the hour, after the top of the hour, I should say, into the 7 a.m. hour to talk about the mentorship and the really the discipleship of kids that can transpire when we get them involved in business ventures. Think about it this way. And this sounds odd, I realize. But we're accustomed to thinking and talking in our culture about all the benefits of kids participating in sporting activity, right? They learn sportsmanship, teamwork, how to lose with dignity and pick yourself up and move on and try again, those kinds of things. One needs to learn all those kinds of things if one is to successfully own and operate a business. And at the end of the day, no business is successful unless we start with a focus on the needs of other people. And that's a biblical admonition to care about others and their needs, right? So Bill English, again, the publisher of BibleAndBusiness.com, Kids and Business. We'll talk about it coming up at about 7:07 this morning, so stand by for that. So you want to leave your church. You're thinking about bailing, are you? Let's just be honest and call it what it is. It's bailing. And I'm saying this kind of tongue-in-cheek because all of us have experienced this at one time or another. But could it be the case that there are, in some cases, really good reasons for bailing on a church? And in other situations, maybe not so good reasons. Joining us to talk about the good and bad reasons, a guy who's just, you know, he embodies it all. Chris Martin, he is the Millennial Evangelical. You can find him at millennialevangelical.com. He's also super sophisticated with technology, using some of the finest telephony and microphone equipment to join us on our broadcast. What are we using the same microphone today, Chris, or do you have something new that we're working with this morning?
Good morning, Austin. No, I'm just on a plain old phone this morning. I just got into work, so I'm not calling in from my home office.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
I'm calling you in from my plain old phone this morning.
Okay. What is a plain old phone? Is that a landline phone? Is it a mobile phone?
No, my very sophisticated iPhone.
Okay, well, that's cool. Well, listen, all that fun tech stuff aside, what got you interested in taking up this issue of good and bad reasons to leave church? Why even write about it?
Yeah, I saw a couple articles in the past couple of weeks about good and bad reasons to leave church. Some of them kind of overlap with mine, but I realized some of my friends were interested in this topic. Some of my college friends, some of my just out of college friends, especially because many of them are in a time of transition,
yes,
going from college town and where they went to school to now going into real life, and they're kind of trying to figure out where they want to go to church and all these sort of things, and so I thought it might be helpful to kind of help young people realize, see good and bad reasons to leave a church, because I've had to move churches a couple times in the past years as I have moved myself, and I've always, you know, I have a really high view of the local church, higher than most, I think. Some people kind of think I have too high a view of the local church, but I really think it's almost never good to leave a church. In fact, in the blog post I wrote, Three Good Reasons to Leave a Church,
yeah,
I really struggled with the word good. I wanted to say three acceptable reasons to leave a church, because
mm-hmm,
I never encourage anyone to leave a church, but sometimes you just have to. And so I thought, you know, it might be helpful to help people discern between one and the other.
No, you've provided some interesting food for thought, and I like the way you're saying it, some acceptable reasons to move on, leave a church. But let's talk about what you believe are the bad reasons to leave your church. Number one, and this is fascinating to me, I got to believe this comes up over and over and over again. Number one reason, bad reason to leave a church, you don't like the music. Oh, Chris,
yeah,
come on. It sounds like you've heard this one before yourself.
Yeah, I have. And to be honest, I'm surprised a lot of people took issue with this one, like in the comments section and on social media. I'm you know, this is a hard topic, and I understand there's some history here, especially in the early 90s, which I didn't take into full. I wasn't fully appreciating that as I wrote this post, these worship wars. Mm-hmm. I was like six when these things were a thing. So I really didn't understand the context behind this, but people are really passionate about this. And I think what it comes down to is the language of what I wrote. You don't like the music.
Right.
You know, people brought up in the comments, well, you should be putting forward your best foot for God. You should be doing, like, if the music's bad at my church, I shouldn't have to put up with that. And I get that. And I understand we should be giving our best to God. And you don't want to just put anybody, you don't want to put me up in front of the church just thing if you have any other option. But I think leaving a church over bad music is just kind of silly. And I don't even know how else to explain it. It's just silly. There are so many more important things. You can worship no matter how bad the pianist is. You know, I don't know. I just kind of, I've heard that issue, and I understand if you don't like the music, but I don't see it as a reason to leave.
Right. Another reason you cite as being a bad reason, not a legitimate reason to leave a church, somebody within the church hurt your feelings. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Now you're treading on very sensitive nerves here, Chris Martin.
Right.
Go ahead. Fill in the blanks on this one for us.
Yeah, this one was one I was actually kind of passionate about. Because one of the blog posts I read for good reasons to leave the church is someone made you angry. And I got really kind of upset about that because when I read that, I was like, man, I'm sure I've made people angry before in the church, and I surely hope I didn't drive them out. And people have made me angry before, and they didn't drive me out. And I think when it comes to someone hurting your feelings in the church, you have to realize that the local church is a hospital for the broken and not a museum for the perfect. And so a lot of times, this hypocritical talk comes in, and you know, Christians, when they gather together, aren't claiming we're all perfect. We're all claiming that we're not perfect. And the reason we're gathering together is because we're broken and we need a savior. And I think if someone's brokenness rubs off on me and I experience the negative consequences of someone else's brokenness, I should just forgive that person as Christ tells me to. And try to love them also as Christ tells me to, not just leave because my feelings were hurt, because the next church you go to, your feelings are going to be hurt again.
Sure. Yeah, no, your point's very well taken. Chris Martin, the Millennial Evangelical, on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. You also note on the list of reasons not to leave a church, you heard about another church that you might like better. Now, this gets directly to something I was characterizing earlier, that oftentimes our choices for where to attend church really get reduced down to sort of a consumer choice. Well, this choice over here is more cool and meets my needs and is more convenient than that choice over there. It sounds like that's kind of a dynamic you're trying to avoid.
Yeah. And I think, when I moved to Nashville, which is where I currently live, I admit there were, like, first order of business when it came to choosing a church was theology and doctrines that I agree with that don't hurt my conscience as far as how this church is interpreting the Bible, you know, that sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then second order was, are there people here my age? Are there people here that I can relate to? Are there people here in the same stage of life as I am? Which some people may characterize as a consumer-driven thing. I think, you know, some of the more aesthetic and some of the more fringe parts of a church like that, like the music or like things like that, aren't bad to consider when you're choosing a new church in a new town and a new life situation, assuming those come after the theological reasons, I think. But if you're leaving a church just because you like another one better, so you're not looking for a bunch of new churches or whatever, but you're in a church and you see one that pops up that is the cool church that now everybody's going to, I think it's bad to just leave your church. I called the line I wrote at the top of the blog post was, stop treating your local church like your high school girlfriend treating it like the bride and start treating it like the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just be fickle about what church you're going to go to. That's the local gathering of the bride of Christ. You should probably treat it more seriously than you would some cool new thing that popped up and, ooh, let's go see what that's all.
Yeah, interesting. Chris Martin, he's the Millennial Evangelical. He is a writer and a columnist. He's on our guest line. Quick break. We'll continue with Chris in just a moment. Some thoughts on reasons that one might quite legitimately need to and want to leave a church. We'll talk more about how millennials view this this decision of staying or leaving a church. Maybe they view it differently than their parents' generation. Chris Martin, my guest, will continue in just a moment. I'm Austin Hill. It's now 6:45 Central Time. It's the Faith Radio Network. It's the church hop, leaving one church and moving on to yet another. It's now 6:46 Central Time from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Church hopping, shopping, bailing out on one, moving on to the other. That's what we're talking about. Chris Martin is my guest. He is an author and a prolific columnist. He writes at millennialevangelical.com. Some of the good reasons to leave a church, Chris. We'll get to the generational different perspectives on this coming up here in just a moment. But you say the church leadership is abusing its power. It may be time to leave. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So a lot of times in churches, politics go on in churches just like they happen in the office or in our country's government. Politics happen everywhere there are people, I think. It's just kind of part of the fall. And I think part of politics is power grabs and taking power where it shouldn't be and possibly abusing that power. Sometimes church leadership abuses its power because it's made up of sinners, just like other organizational structures. And so I think if you see some sort of church leadership, some sort of leadership in your church abusing its power by making a power grab or pushing out a staff member they simply don't agree with, I think what it requires to maybe guard against this is just clear communication between the church leadership and the congregation. A lot of it depends on how your church functions government-wise or policy-wise. So is there an elder board? Is it congregationally led? Is it just pastor? There are a lot of dynamics and variables at play, but I think if your church is routinely abusing its power or its communication is poor and it eliminated a pastor and it didn't communicate why or, things like this, at least as far as you deserve to know. Certain details probably don't need to be shared, but I think you just need to be discerning and just keep an eye out for this sort of thing, because I've seen this happen far too much.
I appreciate what you're saying here. Power, certainly, when it's concentrated in the hands of the few, more often than not, it does get abused unless there's accountability. Another dilemma that I've observed over the course of my lifetime, you're so much younger than me, I've got a little more experience here, Chris Martin, but one of the things that I've observed, certainly with my generation, the Gen Xers and the baby boomers, we kind of bring sometimes to church leadership, we bring our expectations of elective, representational, republic form of government. That's what we've got in our cities and counties and states and at our federal level. We have a voice in these kinds of things. And if our elected representatives do stuff that we don't like, we have the right, if we're paying attention, if we care enough, we can vote them out of office. Church governance, for the most part, is not an elective representational kind of thing. People are not elected to positions. They're mostly appointed to things. And comment on, if you would, maybe even from the millennial perspective on that. This is not, church governance is not the governance at City Hall or in the state legislature. There's a big difference.
Yeah. And that's, you're exactly right. And I didn't spend very much time on that in my blog post, but I kind of wish I would have now. I think you're right, and it is kind of concerning to me now that you talk about it. Like, I never realized that's concerning to me. But I guess appointment's not a bad thing. Appointment over voting in isn't necessarily a bad thing. I just think it makes accountability all the more important, because hopefully, at least you and I would hope, that the leaders in our churches appointing these other leaders in our churches have enough discernment and wisdom to appoint the right leaders and not someone who shouldn't be appointed. So sure. I think you and I would probably trust our church leaders with that responsibility. But I think it just emphasizes the need for accountability in situations like this.
Real quick, I've just got a few brief moments left. Are millennials less inclined than, say, their parents' generation, the Gen Xers, the baby boomers, what have you? Are millennials less inclined to treat the selection of a church as though it's just another consumer choice? You prefer Coca-Cola, I prefer Pepsi, so we just have different preferences, and that's it?
I don't think they're less likely. I've seen consumerism among young people just as much as I've heard about it among Gen Xers and boomers. So I think because a lot of us are still young and half of us aren't even out of college yet, I think it kind of remains to be seen. But I've heard about consumerism as far as choosing churches just as much among young people as among older people.
Very interesting. Chris Martin, he's the Millennial Evangelical. Find him at that website, millennialevangelical.com. Chris, as always, great spending some time with you. Thanks very much for being here.
Yeah, good talking to you, Austin. Have a good day.
Yeah, likewise, you as well. 6:52 now, Central Time from the Faith Radio Network. Still to come, getting kids involved in business. How old is too old? How young is young enough? You can ask that question a bunch of different ways. I don't think there's any time when it's maybe the wrong time to get a kid involved in business mentorship and internships, provided that the parents are involved and they understand the child better than anybody else and the child can perform the duties in the workplace. Well, let's give it a go. Talk about mentorship, discipleship, internship for kids in local small businesses coming up after the news at 7 o'clock. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. We're glad you're with us. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.